Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit. Hallelujah. How many is thankful for Jesus? Amen. You've got your Bible with you today? Yes, let's make our confession. We're going to say it by faith. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, the incorruptible, the ever-living seed. It's the Word of God. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yes, yes, yes. He's worthy. Turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 4. Last time I had the opportunity to teach, we read about half the book of Numbers, but today it's one verse. Praise God. Hallelujah. James chapter 4, verse 4. It's Friday morning when I was just... I always start my day off with prayer, and I'd gotten finished with prayer, and I decided, well, you know, the Bible says physical exercise profit a little, but godliness profiteth in all things. So I started off with prayer, but I still did my physical exercise. Well, I couldn't get done with what I was trying to do out in the garage. I just kept feeling the stirring of the Holy Spirit. How many knows what that is? You know, when the Holy Spirit's just moving in your heart. How many has experienced that? You've experienced that? Of course you have. Holy Spirit's moving in your heart, talking to you, bringing something up in your remembrance over and over and over and over. And he put this on my heart. And as far as, you know, necessarily preaching schedule, I would have been another week out. But, Dad had offered it and said, hey, if you want to minister, minister. And I said, no, I'm going to do it. And actually, I said, I'm not going to do it. Because I said, well, we'll just wait. The schedule sounds nice. Then the next day I said, I take it back. Let me preach. Amen. So James chapter 4, verse 4. Somebody say, crucify, compromise. Whose friend are you? James 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let's read that one more time. Adulterers and adulteresses. Somebody say, that ain't me. Amen. If you didn't say it, your wife may be elbowing you around it. What you, huh? Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Question I'm asking me, the question you need to ask yourself is, whose friend are you? If I can just, let me say this. You know, when you look out, and you don't want to just be critical, but when you look out kind of in the world, you look out in our nation, churches, have you ever thought and said to yourself, what's going on? Have you ever said, you know, you think, you know, where has the fire of the Lord went? Where is the devotion? Where is the stirring up of the people of God? Because we can, you know, you can read headlines, you can watch news, run social media, and you can say, my, the world's gone crazy. But, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in fact, turn with me there. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus, he's speaking to you and I, believers, followers of him. How many is a follower of Jesus? If you are, say amen. Amen. Matthew 5, verse 13, you are salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. See, you know, in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But notice, if you're in Christ, you're the light of the world. Somebody say, I am the light of the world, because the light of the world is in me. We can do better than that. Let's say, I am the light of the world, because the light of the world is in me. How are they going to see Jesus if they don't see Jesus in you? How are they going to hear Jesus if they don't hear Jesus speaking through you? Jesus didn't say, I'll come down off my throne at the right hand of the Father and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How are they going to experience a touch from God unless they experience the touch of God through you? You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Maybe that is the definition of compromise. Wanting to be a city, sitting on a hill, relationship with God, but be hidden. Maybe that's what compromise is. Maybe that's what has taken hold, not of, I don't believe of everyone, because you can fall prey to that, what I call the Elijah syndrome. What is the Elijah syndrome? Remember, after Elijah has that massive victory over those 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of Ashtaroth, 850 guys, they're all jumping around, dancing, cutting themselves, screaming out. Elijah's making fun of them. You might say you shouldn't make fun of people. Elijah was saying, hey, keep on screaming, keep on jumping. Maybe your God is out on a restroom break. You know, that wasn't very nice. It wasn't very polite, but he did it. He did it. And then eventually they get struck down. And a whole nation turns and repents to the Lord. But there's this old wicked woman named Jezebel. And she says, I'm going to do what Elijah did to my prophets to him. And if I don't, I'll consider me dead. And the man of God runs. And then he goes and hides. And he says to the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm the only one serving you. And God said, no, you ain't. I got 7,000 more men that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Who hasn't bowed their knee to Baal? Amen. Now, I think that actually would imply men of service, men of ministry. So how many other, just other faithful Israelites hadn't bowed their knee either? So don't fall prey to the Elijah syndrome. But you can also ask yourself this. What is the reason why we see 1 John 5, the sway of this world under the wicked one? Why do we see, it seems like, especially in our nation, so much wickedness and sinfulness has taken hold? And here's the problem. That's normal. We understand that. But why is there not a voice in the wilderness crying out, prepare ye the way of the Lord? Where is the church to stand up? Why is it? You know, I was visiting with Miss Mary Jo and Miss Beverly, and we were talking different things. Why is it that it seems like sometimes preachers and pastors, They get to a high position and they get to a place of exaltation where they have a big voice, a big platform, and they lose their spine? What good are you if the salt loses its flavor? There's nothing left for you to do but be thrown out and trodden overfoot. You know, and you see these different silly things that come up. It's one thing to be dead in sin and live sinful. We all did it before Christ. It's another to say, I'm saved, and still entertain the friendship of the world. Because if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. But why even desire to be a friend with that which you've been redeemed from? Why do I want to be a friend with the... Now, understand, when in James 4, when it says world, it's not talking about this blue and green ball that's floating through the space, or, you know, circling the sun. It's not talking about that. It is talking about the spirit of this age. World, it's literally cosmos. It's talking about the spirit of this age, and it's talking about the mass of people who are not under the command and instruction of the Lord. That's what it's talking about with world. Because some people might say, and Matthew Henry, he was a commentator in the 17th century, he wrote this, it's really great. A man may have a competent portion of the good things of this life, and yet may keep himself in the love of God. You can be blessed and serve Jesus. Somebody say amen if you know it's true. But he who sets his heart upon the world, who places his happiness in it, will conform himself to it and do anything rather than lose its friendship. He is an enemy to God. It is constructive treason and rebellion against God to set the world, that spirit of this age, upon God's throne, which is our hearts. Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. He will act upon this principle to keep the smiles of this world, to have its continual friendship, cannot but show himself in spirit and in his actions to an enemy of God. You as a believer, you as a child of God, you as a called out one, you should have, I should have zero taste or desire in my spirit for the world to accept me. I don't need the world to accept me. I don't need people who are still under the sway, and I'm not better than them, but how am I going to throw out the life preserver to someone if I'm sinking in the same water? How am I going to have someone be delivered from the same thing I'm bound up in? And so, you know, there were different ministers. It's like they get this reach, and we believe in reach. I want reach. I'm using everything I can to reach people. Last year we had 44 different people all over the U.S. and some outside the U.S. take the action of clicking the link and signing the form of salvation or rededication that we mailed pastor's Bible basic book to them. I told them it's completely free to them. It costs you, the giver and the tither, something, but I think it's worthy of our money. Amen? So 44. Now, there's other people who just didn't follow through. They didn't know the link. They didn't know how to do it. They didn't follow through. But we have 44 people that registered in 2023 just through our online ministry that we do that believed on Jesus or rededicated their life, and they've been come up out of this world. So I believe in reach. I believe in using social media. I believe in sanctifying any of these things for the Lord. But if it comes down to, you know, saying the truth or not saying the truth, and I don't want to say the truth or take a stand on the truth because someone's going to get upset with me, take a ticket, get in line. I'm not turning away from Jesus. How many can agree to that? Say amen. Because why do I want to be a friend to the... Again, it's not about people. We war not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of darkness. There is a spiritual war over the minds of men and women, and you're a called out one. We as these people in this church, we're a called out church. We're people who have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means something. That changes the way we live. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we speak. It changes the way we act. And if it comes down to making a choice, God or this world, I'm choosing God. Because I don't want to be worthless. If salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. A light that's not seen is worthless. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now notice what I said in James 4:4, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God, which means the reverse is true. If I'm a friend of God, I'll be an enemy of this spirit of this age, this world. And that word, it's amazing. The word friendship, the Greek word that is there in James 4:4 is philia, P-H-I-L-I-A. It's used one time in the entire New Testament. It's not philio, which is used for brotherly love, such as Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, which, you know, don't walk out of the streets at night in the dark in the city of brotherly love. You know, don't. It's amazing, but, you know, it's like call things to be not the city of brotherly love. But philia, it's used one time. Why does that even matter? Because in this unique instance, there was one usage of this word in the language that the New Testament was being penned down when the Holy Ghost was moving on the Apostle James to write this down in this letter to you and I, the church, and he needed this particular word, which implies not only a desire to be friends with the world, but I want to be approved of the world. I want approval of the world. That's what the implication is. For the believer, and that's why it starts off with adulterers and adulteresses, is pulling back on the Old Testament idea. Every time the people of God went away from serving Jehovah and serving other gods, it's called idolatry, but God called it adultery. The worship of other gods is idolatry, but God called it adultery. Because God saw it much more than worshiping other gods. He saw it as, I'm in this relationship with my people Israel, and they have defiled this relationship by being faithful to another and not to me. And that's what it's pulling from. Because if for, in order for me to be a friend with the world, I'll be an enemy of God. But it's so much deeper than friendship. It's I want to be approved. I want them to smile and say, that's right, good boy. Yeah. Don't get too out of line. Be a good little Christian. Just talk about love, even though it's not biblical love. Just talk about love and just say nice things and only quote portions of scripture that make us feel fuzzy inside. Because if you don't, well, pop your hand. You're getting out of line. To which I say, I don't need that friendship. Now, enmity is the other word. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Enmity sounds real close to enemy. Enmity literally means hostility, opposition, set against in open warfare. So there has to be, and it's not a one-time decision. It's a continual life decision. That I'm going to follow Christ, and I'm not going to let anything pull me off this path of following Christ. I'm not going to let anybody's opinions pull me away from it. I'm not going to let anyone's thoughts or what anyone else has to say about it pull me away from it, which is compromise. And there has to be nothing in our hearts, a cleansing in our hearts, a continual cleansing of your heart, because it's just like how seeds work. If seeds get spread out in your yard, you're trying to plant some grass, you don't see grass the next day. But those seeds are there. And if those seeds are there and water comes and they remain, grass is coming. So if something gets in my heart, tries to work its way into my heart to where I would compromise my relationship with the Lord so that I could win approval of the spirit of this world, you may not see it right now, but if a seed is remaining in my heart over time, you'll see a falling away. It is so sad. It's like a slow burn. When Christians allow that to seep into the heart, to kind of get into their heart. Well, I believe that's true. I believe the Bible's true, but you know, we just can't always say everything what the Bible says. Some people just won't understand it. You know, talking about social media, I shared this little real clip about the fear of the Lord. And wouldn't you know it, the first comment was a person who says they're a Christian, and I'm not saying they're not, but they said, as a Christian, you really need to tell people what the fear of the Lord actually is before people think it's, you know, like something to be afraid of. Well, the fear of the Lord is awe and reverence of God. But I just read it in my Bible yesterday, unless, you know, the Lord went back and hit backspace, 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 and it removed it out of our Bibles. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, don't just fear the man who can destroy the body. Fear the one that can destroy the body and the soul with hellfire. That's a little bit more implication than awe and reverence. Why would Christians... I'm not saying that we are, but I'm saying if there be anything like this in our hearts, in my heart, rid it from me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Why would there ever be something inside of me? Or why would you ever want something inside of you to where you might, you know, that I'm going to say this, but what might they think if I say the word of God? Who cares what they think? I thank God nobody cared what I thought when they stood up to tell me about the truth of God's word. I thank God that people let the sword of the Spirit and they just swung that thing left and right. I thank God that my parents took that sword of the Spirit, and they knew how to take it from chopping to flat and spank me with it. Amen. Praise God. They could work the sword of the Spirit. I thank God for that. I thank God. I thank God that my parents, they told me, you know, look, we serve God in this house. I remember one time I was talking about, you know, having to come back for Sunday night or something. I said, Dad, I don't want to go. He didn't say anything. He just laughed. And I turned around, got dressed, and left. I didn't need him to say. He didn't need a reason with me. I don't need to correct the Word of God before I share it with someone. And we've got people doing it. We've got ministers proud of it. Proud of it. Saying point blank thing, you know, saying point blank things like, well, you notice, this is most recent thing, this lady that was ministering, she said, if you notice, we're reading through our Bible out loud in the service, but we skipped over a large portion in 1 Corinthians because honestly, it's just kind of icky. So they skipped over it. Maybe that's what maybe that, what you're calling icky, is revealing sinfulness, unrepentant things that you need to let the sword of the Spirit cut down at the root. Me, you, anybody. Because if I'm seeking to gain approval from a dead and dying world, what am I going to get? What will I be willing to lose? You're Matthew 5. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 22. Matthew 13, 22. Matthew chapter 13. There's three different Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all talk about the parable of the sower. Each one has a little bit different dimension or aspect on this teaching. But in Matthew 13, the Apostle Matthew gives what the Holy Spirit inspires him to write. And there's four different types of ground. One of the grounds is verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Why is it so important to make sure that there's no desire for friendship with the world? Because those cares, those thorns, those deceitfulnesses, they will actually choke the word from producing what it can produce in my life. The word didn't change, the ground did. That's why it's so important to let the Holy Spirit, like a plow. Anybody ever plowed a garden? I can remember right now, I can go right back in my memory, and I can see my grandfather in this little patch of area where he would garden every year. And of course, he was old school, so he's gardening. He's got khaki slacks on, snap button shirt tucked in with boots. You know, he looks like, you know, generally like going to church or something. He's just out there, and he's pushing this walk-behind plow. And I can see him, and those thorns that are on the outskirts as he's plowing, it cuts his hand. I remember this. This actually happened. Cut his hand. He didn't even see it. His hands were like leather. Worked with hand, made a living with his hands his whole life. But I can see it. It's cut there. I said, "Papa, your hand's bleeding." So, "Oh, I didn't even notice that." What cut him, though, is those thorns that were reaching over. Now, he was plowing up the ground he was going to use. So I can see him pulling rocks out. I can see him pulling out roots. I can see him pulling out grass and weeds and thorns that are trying to get there. On the outskirts, there's still some thorns, though. And if those thorns were allowed to, they would fall in and seed into this area called the garden. And if not removed, even though you plant good seed, the bad seed chokes out the life of the good seed. That's why there has to be a divorce and a separation. And it's not just in action, but in heart. You know, it's Old Testament and New Testament. The Lord said, you know what, you guys are arguing over different things about circumcision of flesh, the mark of the flesh, but really what you need is circumcision of the heart. You need your heart to be marked by me. Because if you get your heart marked, it don't matter what the mark is on the outside of the flesh. If you get your heart right, then everything else will fall in line. And so if there be any thorns in us as people, as believers, or as a church, we need to pray the Holy Spirit would just jerk those things out by the root. Lest the seed of the word get choked out. Look at this. You're Matthew 13, Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." Ooh, that'll make you run, jump, and shout, won't it? Not really. It don't make you want to do that physically, but it does spiritually. "Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever who loses his life for my sake will find it." What a mystery. What a kingdom mystery. What I'm trying to get, if I'll give it away, I'll get it. What I'm trying to hold on to, if I'll release it, the Lord will bring it back to me. But with his anointing and his blessing on it. Verse 26. "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What would you be willing to trade for your eternal life? Friendship with the world? Not me. Not you. Amen? Not at all. I don't want to trade. And think about that. Friendship with the world won't just rob you of now. It'll rob you of eternity. That what a deadly friendship. Who wants a friend like that? Where the moment you turn your back, he's looking to kill you. You know, you might think, well, I got family members like that. That's why I don't need friends like that. No, I'm just kidding. Who wants a friend like that that's out for your destruction? But that's that little lying whisper. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe there's just some things in the Word I shouldn't share or talk to people or this or that because they may get upset. Maybe this, maybe that. Brother Carl was sharing just yesterday in men's Bible study, talking about how a particular friend of theirs that he was ministering to, and he got saved, and he was telling about how he got saved. And I think it was the same gentleman that Mr. Chris was talking to as well. And both the guys' reaction, like, oh, no, you did what? Why'd you go and do that? Why'd you go and get saved? And the reaction at that moment in time was not one of acceptance, but he later got saved. Because one sows and one reaps, both rejoice. See, if I'll just release the Word of God, if I'll just take a stand on the Word of God, you understand, there's two sides of it. Personally, to receive the blessings of God, thank God for the blessings. But also, to go and win lost people to Christ, it's going to require some confrontation. And sometimes we don't like confrontation. It ain't beating up people, but it is telling people the truth. How will they believe unless they hear? How will they hear unless someone's speaking? How can someone speak unless someone preaches? How beautiful are the feet of them that proclaim the gospel of peace? Somebody's got to do some speaking. Someone's got to do some saying. Someone has to say, I know the world says this is okay, but if you continue on that path, you will end up in a real place called hell. I have been more, and I'm not trying to be braggadocious at all by any means, but I found that the Word works. Wow, praise God, amen. But all those different people that came to the Lord, when they came to the Lord, I'd made a decision. Lord, I'm just going to speak your Word regardless of how it's received. You know, and sometimes you get hit with things. Social media is so weird anyway. It's not even real life, but we use it as ways to connect with people. But, you know, the one time I got banned on one of the platforms is because I said men can't get pregnant. Now, why do I need to be friends with the spirit of this age that say men can get pregnant? Next thing I know, you're going to want to be in my daughter's bathroom. And I know this, that man won't walk. Thank you for your amens. Amen. I got two grandfathers in there. They'll back me up. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's a little violent, isn't it? Ooh, have you read your Bible through this time yet? You've not read your Bible through yet, have you? You need to do 2024 Bible reading, and you'll find out that it's not too violent. Turn with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 7. Someone say, fear of man.
Fear of man.
Someone say, fear of the Lord. Pick a side. Verse 7 of Matthew 18. Woe to the world because of offenses. Now you might say, right there it is, AJ. You better not be offending people. That word offense literally means temptation or sin. It's not woe to the world of offenses of the world, don't offend people. It's don't offend God. Woe to the world because of offenses. Notice, woe to the world. Why is the woe means, you know, if you're, whoa, you ever been trying to help someone back up a trailer? And you think they see? Whoa! You know, they didn't see the first three times and you have to yell out, whoa. What does that mean? Stop what you're doing. Whoa! Stop what you're doing to the world. For what? Offenses. For offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. The New Living Translation says, what sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin? Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? I want you to see this. This may shed a little bit of light on how powerful your testimony and your walk with Christ is. I wrote this. When you're friends with the world, you'll lead others into its destructions. So you might think, well, you know, it's my life. It's just me. I'm all good. It's all good. But if I'm doing the riding the fence game, it will actually take people around me that are watching me to hell. If I'm playing with this, because they'll say, oh, AJ's doing it. I can do it. A great example is our children. The reason why I'm saying, with Naomi dancing, we went to a couple nights of revival in Georgia last week. And, you know, as far as coming to church, usually I'm here all looking at y'all. But that opportunity, I got to be one of y'all looking that way. And so here we are, we're ministering, you know, we're worshiping the Lord and we're dancing and praising God. And so then we come back and she's thinking, well, I can dance now here too. So she can dance. Amen. I thought that was beautiful when all the children danced. I think we should just open up the whole front. Anybody, not just children. The Bible says you have to be like a child to enter into the kingdom. Amen. Maybe next time you see some children up front dancing, why don't you just come on dance too? Amen. Yeah. This carpet's not near as much used as the carpet back there. Come use it up a little bit next time we worship. Yeah, next Sunday. Why not? Why not just make a thing of it? Why not just make a thing of it? Why not just say, you know what? When I live for the world, I just let it all hang out. Well, keep some of it hanging in when you come in the Lord. Sanctify it. But when you get in the house of the Lord, won't you just say, I let it all loose for the Lord, glorified and sanctified, of course. Amen? I think about that sometimes. You ever think about that? Am I doing more or less for Jesus than I did when I lived for the world? Am I more passionate about the kingdom as I was about doing my own thing? Will I stand before Jesus and be able to say, Lord, from the moment you saved me till now, I gave it everything I had? Because if you have a desire for friendship with the world, don't get too crazy. Don't get too out of line. Psalm 23, that's about all we can handle. And only then at funerals. And 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter at weddings. But don't be telling me about anything else about what I'm supposed to do or not to do. You keep it pinned up a little bit, long as you look real nice and comply with the order of things. But here's the thing, look, woe to the man that comes the offenses. If anything, even if it makes me a reproach, we don't use that word reproach a whole lot, but even if it makes me look silly, or makes you look silly, even if it makes you a spectacle, or even you are despised by some people, it would be far better, even if it, maybe it's at the end of your days when you stand before Jesus, but what if it ain't? What if over time, the very person that mocked you and despised you comes and you say, you know what? I'm glad you were faithful to Christ. And because I saw you didn't change, that's one of the reasons I finally came to Jesus. Because woe to the man that comes offensive. Why would I want to be a friend with the world when it offends God? Look, go to John. We're going to look at a few more places here, and then we're going to have a time of prayer and consecration. John 12. I want to show you a few things, though, before we get there. John chapter 12, verse 24. John 12, verse 44. 24, excuse me. John 12, 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Verse 25, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now that, when it's saying hate, it's an idiom, I-D-I-O-M. And it's basically doing a drastic comparison. In other words, I should, and that's why it's using the word hate. It doesn't literally mean to hate yourself. But the idea is, compared to living this life for the world's sake or to Christ's sake, my love should be so fiery hot for Christ that the love for the world almost looks like a hatred for living that type of life that I used to live. It should be so drastic. It should be so completely up and down, left and right, east and west, so far apart that the two look like my love for Christ almost makes it look like I hate the life I lived in the world. Look at this. You're in John 12. Just drop down 42 and 43. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. There it is. That's hard to compromise, isn't it? Well, we believe in Jesus, but we just don't like to talk about it too much. Because the Pharisees may kick us out of the club. And we kind of like being part of the club. Because we kind of like the people talking good about us. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let me tell you something. We are living in the last days. How many know it? Say amen if you know that. And it will be test after test after test. And you can have victory after victory after victory. If you'll continue just to say, Lord, I choose you. Lord, I choose you. Lord, I choose you. I want your praise. I want your honor. I want your acceptance. I want your approval, not the praise of man, not the accolades of man, not the approval of other people. Because it is a trade-off. It's a trade-off. If you want to walk in the blessing and the power of God, and you want to be, I mean, just a firestorm for the kingdom of God, you have to let that fear of man just wash off of you. And it's easy. It's not hard to do. All you got to do is stay in the presence of God. Because the easiest thing in the world is for me not to care about what people say after I've spent time in the presence of God. After I've stood before the Lord, whose opinion is going to matter after I've gotten His approval? After I've gotten His instruction? After I've received His power and His anointing? Everything else pales in comparison to it. But notice, they had belief, but they wouldn't say it out loud. Do you know, as a Christian, one of the main tenets of our belief as believers is we got to tell somebody who we believe in? I have people say that to me sometimes. Well, I understand that's your belief, but you know, you should be respectful of other people's belief and not tell people about your belief, because that's kind of disrespectful about other people's belief. To which I reply, part of my belief is I have to tell you what I believe. Because if I don't tell you, do I really believe it? Penn and who's the two magicians? One never talked. Teller, Penn and Teller. You ever seen that magic act? Penn and Teller? One's a real tall guy. He always wears the vest and he has the ponytail pulled back. And the shorter guy, he never talks. And I think they're both atheists, but one talks, so I don't know. I've never heard him say it. But the guy that does talk, he's a self-proclaimed atheist. And you know what he says? This is what he said. It was amazing. He was doing this talk. He said, you know, one of the reasons why I don't believe in Christianity is because I met so many people that tell me they're Christians, but they never tell me how to become a Christian. And this is what he said. He said, if you really believe there's one way to be saved, and that if I don't believe that thing you believe and do what you say there I need to do, come to Christ, and I'll go to hell if I don't, why are you not telling me about it? Because you tell me that you love me, but you won't tell me how to get saved, the same thing that you got. And that's what he says. So he said, I've encountered so many believers, they've never told me about their belief. So do they really believe it? Oh, my God. May we never be found among the silent. Amen? Amen. Go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Look at this, John 15, verse 19. John 15, verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. When you're born again, you're no longer of this world. You've been born again. You've been brought out of this world. And let me tell you something. If you're going to live like Jesus, it's going to be an offense to the spirit of this world. Oh, you think you're better than us? No, I don't think I'm better. I'm just redeemed. And you can be too. Because when you get set free, you don't still live like a slave. But some people do that. Bound up, Jesus frees them, and they think, I'll keep being bound up. But when you get set free and you get saved, living like Christ is actually going to be an offense. And so the very spirit of this age, you understand 1 John 5, the spirit of the world is under the sway of the wicked one. It is of Satan's deception and power. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on. But to have that desire to want to be accepted by the very spirit that influences the world, that causes a hatred toward the things of God, I have no need of it. You have no need of it. You have to make a mark in the sand and say, I'm not going to participate in this friendship, in fellowship with the very spirit that destroys and abuses and brings destruction and sickness and pains and anxieties and turmoils and vexes people that carry the image of God. Why would I want to have friendship with that spirit that kills, steals, and destroys? Why would I need that spirit through a person to give me approval? Now, I want you to see this. Turn with me to 1 John. We're going to finish in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John 4, 17. So we kind of looked at the idea of unfriending the world. I thought that was kind of cute, that phrase, unfriending the world, you know, with social media, Facebook, this and that. You think, I hadn't saw this person. And, you know, I hadn't saw these posts by this person in a while. You go check out their profile. Oh, they unfriended me. May today be the day, if it has not already been, may today be the day that you look and say, oh, the world unfriended me. Oh, great, wonderful. They're no longer in my news feed. Praise God. We kind of cover on that idea. But it's not just unfriending the world. It's being a friend of God. Being in fellowship and a friend with God. Look at this in 1 John 4:17. This is beautiful. Love has been perfected among us in this. So what is true love? What's perfected love? What's the God kind of love? It's about to give us an explanation. That we may have boldness. Isn't that interesting how God kind of mixes things up? I don't know about you, but for me, I wouldn't necessarily think love and boldness are friends. But perfected love gives you boldness. Perfected love gives you boldness. Perfected love will make you bold. If you really love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. It may hurt a little bit on the inside, but you'll do it. 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. If you really love someone, you'll be bold. Look, in the day of judgment, that's beautiful. I've got nothing to fear. I've been perfected in love. And the day that approaches, the day of judgment, for the believer, of course, is that believer's, that bema seat of Christ where rewards will be given out. Because if you're righteous, judgment's a good thing. If you're in a battle, a legal affair, and the judge determines a judgment and says, not guilty, you think, glory, wonderful. It's still a judgment. But if you're right, it's a good thing. Now notice, because as He is, so are we. Where? In heaven? In this world. As He is, so are we. As He is, so are we. As He is, so are we. Now, what's so beautiful about it, Jesus was a friend to sinners. But He wasn't a friend to this world. He wasn't a friend to the spirit of this age. And how was He a friend? Repent. The kingdom of God is nigh. Beautiful. Wonderful. He was a friend because He saw someone drowning, and from the place of security on the boat, He tossed out the life raft and pulled them in. He didn't say, ooh, I don't want to offend them. They're drowning. What if I throw out a float and it's the wrong color? What if it's too hard? What if it's too soft? What if the rope gives them a little bit of burn? I think I'll just keep the raft over here. You're good. Looking good. As He is, so are we. As He is, so are we. Look at this, 1 John 5. This is one page over in my Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. How do you overcome this spirit that deceives and perverts and destroys and maims and mangles and kills and rips families apart and destroys marriages and tells children and confuses their minds to where they cut off parts of their body they can't get put back on? How do you overcome that? Being born of God. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Your faith. Say, my faith causes me to overcome. Verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is the overcomer? How are you an overcomer? Because you have faith in Christ. Even as He is, so are we in this world. And so what I want to do, Miss Helen, if you can come and minister on the piano, I want us to take a couple minutes, and I want us to join as a church family around the altar this morning. And I want us just to stand before the Lord in worship and praise and prayer. Won't you come on now, even now? Just come right now. We're just going to minister to the Lord for a little bit and let the Holy Spirit move in our hearts and work on our hearts. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace and Your power and Your might. We thank You for Your loving kindness and Your faithfulness, God. We're thankful, Lord God, that it is by Your Spirit, by Your power, by Your might, Lord, that sets us free, Lord God, that cleanses our heart, Lord. We say even now, Lord, create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit in me, Lord God. If there be anything in me that desires friendship with the world, Lord God, let it be rooted up, Lord God, from the very tips of the root. Let it be plucked up by the hand of the Holy Ghost. For we desire no participation in the very spirit of this age that will take people to hell. Rather, we desire, Lord, to participate in the Spirit of God that pulls people out of the fire of hell and brings them into a place called heaven and sets them on a straight and narrow path, being Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. Even now, we surrender again and again and again to You, Lord. Today, afresh and anew, Lord, we consecrate and dedicate, and we say, Lord, we desire to be vessels of honor. We desire to be vessels of gold and silver in the house of God. We desire to be vessels that can be readily used by the Spirit of God. We want nothing of this Spirit that is in this world, Lord God. We want no participation of it. If there be any thoughts in our mind that are unrenewed and not aligned with Your truth, Lord, we don't want them. We don't want them, Lord. We replace them now with the truth of Your Word, Lord. And by the Holy Spirit, we thank You for a cleansing, Lord. We thank You for the washing of the water of the Word in our minds, Lord. In Jesus' name, we receive it, Lord. We thank You for it, Lord. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, all to You I give. All of me, every bit, spirit, soul, and body. I'm Yours. I desire friendship with You and You alone. I have no room left in my heart for friendship with the spirit of this world, but rather the Spirit of God, He dwells in me, and even now is conforming me to the image of Christ. So even as He is, so am I. We thank You. We overcome the world by our faith. We have victory by faith. For we believe and we confess Jesus is Lord. And He's my Lord. He's my sanctifier. Even now, Lord, cleanse and keep clean. Search my heart, O God, if there be anything, even a taste for the things of this world, remove it now. For as I set my eyes on Jesus, the things of this world, they grow strangely dim. Won't you just minister to the Lord for a few minutes? Tell Him that you love Him in your own words, in your own way. It really is that simple. Just tell Him that He and He alone is your Lord, that He directs and guides your life. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, You said that You are the, our God is a God of, is a consuming fire. Jesus, He is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost with fire. And that fire is like a refiner's fire. It burns up the chaff on the threshing floor. The chaff is everything that is of worthless value. The chaff is everything that has nothing, no purpose. Lord, may there be no chaff in our hearts, no chaff in our lives. May there be no worthless or vain things we're allowing to live and operate in our life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, that we overcome. Overcomers by faith, God. Hallelujah. 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 We give You praise, God. You alone are worthy. Worthy of it all. Worthy of it all. Of our whole life. No cost too great. No cost too high. No call too hard. No task too large. No place too far. You command it, Lord, we'll do it. Lord, You said that Your eyes look to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone whose heart is loyal, turned toward You, so that You might show Yourself mighty in them. Lord, may Your eyes stop on us May your eyes stop on us as a church family. May your eyes stop on us, on our marriages, on our children. May your eyes stop on us and see loyal hearts turn towards you, God. Somebody that you can show yourself mighty. Someone that is just an open vessel that you can flow through. Oh, we thank you for it, God. We thank you for it, Lord. Oh, how we thank you for it. You know, with your head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here, you're watching and listening, or you're here in the house of the Lord today, and you think, you know what, I need to make things right with God, if you haven't already, and you need to make things right with the Lord, whether it be salvation or rededication, just slip your hand up if that's something you want to do right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're here, and we're all here as a church family, and you need prayer, maybe you got a decision in life and you want God's leading, maybe you need a touch from God in your body, maybe you're believing to see someone restored or brought back to salvation, maybe you're standing in the gap for someone that you love and you want to see them saved. You know what, in fact, let me do this instead of just throwing out a bunch of things shotgun style. If you're here and you want to, you're standing in the gap to see somebody saved in your family, would you raise your hand and keep it high? We're going to pray together. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Father, I'm believing for this person that you've put on my heart. You greatly love them. Jesus died for them. You said in your word, pray to the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers. Lord, I say I'm a laborer. Any way that I can sow seed of your word, I'll do it. Give me opportunities. Give me the right word at the right time to sow it in this person's heart. I thank you, Lord, you're also sending other laborers who will sow the word of God in their lives. I thank you, Lord, you said the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I thank you right now. There's a great conviction, just like the conviction that brought me to salvation is bringing this person to salvation. Lord, I believe, and I'm standing in the gap. I'm crying out, and you hear my prayers, and I thank you. I'll see this person saved. In Jesus' name, amen. And give God praise and faith that he's going to do it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you're here and you need God to touch your body, physical healing, like Pastor's been ministering on, your faith can make you whole. Would you lift your hand up if you need healing in your body? If you do, amen. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Father, I thank you that my faith can make me whole, just like that woman's faith made her whole. Because my faith is in the same person her faith was. Jesus, the healer. Now I receive by faith healing, virtue, power, life into my body. I call things that be not as though they were. So I say, I am healed. I am whole. I am the healed of the Lord. Healing is the children's bread. I sit at your table. And I dine, I eat. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead makes alive my mortal body. In Jesus' name. And then lift up a hand clap of praise and faith. We thank you for it. We call it finished. One last prayer. If you're here and you think you're about to make a decision in any area of your life, and you want to make the right decision. That's anybody. No one wants to say, you know what, I think I'd love to make a wrong decision today. No one does that. But you're at a point of decision making, and you want to do what God would have you do, and you need prayer, raise your hand and let me know. Okay, yes, yes, decision making. And we want to know, we want to do what's right, because the Lord's saying, this is the path, walk ye therein. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I receive your wisdom. I am a sheep of your pasture. Your voice I know and I follow. Another voice I will not follow. I thank you, Lord, You make my path straight, visible, clearly seen. I thank you. My inheritance as a child of God is to be led by the Spirit. So I listen in my spirit to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your leading. I receive your leading, and I refuse to be led by opinions once I receive your leading. You speak, I'll listen. You direct, I'll follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift up a hand clap of faith, knowing that He's going to lead you and guide you. Hallelujah. One last prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and mercy. We thank you for the great love you've shed abroad in our hearts, Lord. By the Holy Spirit, even now we feel that love and that adoration, Lord. And your word says that if you love me, then you'll keep my commands. And then I and my Father will come and dwell. We will abide in your hearts. That's what we want, Lord. We want to be found faithful, not just today, but faithful till the end. And so, Lord, we gladly take anything that would cause compromise, and we nail it to the cross of Christ, along with everything else you nailed to it, Lord. Because there we want it to die and never come back again. We thank you we're perfected in your love, and therefore we can be bold in you. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Why don't you take a few minutes and just love on your church family, and then you have a great rest of your week. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.